Can you hear me? Can you understand me? And can you really? Because that seems to be a problem sometimes. Story today is out of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. The story of David and Goliath. But before we get into that, I'd like to ask you if you've ever heard of Charlie Boswell. Charlie Boswell was a 13-time champion of the United States Blind Golfers Association. I didn't know there was a Blind Golfers Association. But in 1955, he received the Ben Hogan Award. When he did, they met at Charlie's golf course, and Ben Hogan actually presented him with the award. He was in such awe of this, he told Ben Hogan, "I'd love to play a round of golf with you." Ben said, "Okay." Charlie said, "You'll have to play your best to beat me." Ben said, "I don't think I can do that, Charlie. I don't think I can play my best. I couldn't take advantage of you." Charlie said, "Let's play for $1,000 a hole." Ben Hogan said, "No, I couldn't do that to you." Charlie said, "Are you chicken?" That kind of got Ben Hogan. He said, "Okay, you just name the time and the place." And Charlie said, "This golf course, tonight at 11 o'clock. See, we need to use our strengths. And Charlie realized what his weaknesses were and what his strengths were. The story of David and Goliath is not a story so much about courage as it is about faith. We all love stories of the bully being overcome by the underdog. But I want you to imagine this picture. I want you to imagine the valley with the Israelites on one side and the Philistines on the other side. And every day about sunrise, a 9 foot 9 inch tall Goliath with a bronze helmet, maybe a 2 foot plume on top, would walk out and mock the Philistines and mock God. And all the Israelites, including Saul, trembled in fear. The Israelites and Saul only had a vision of Goliath as big as he was. Just like we do when we face our giants. So you got the picture of this, right? Well, one day, Jesse, the father of David, sent him down to take some food and to check on his brothers who were fighting on the front lines. And when he got there, he heard Goliath come out and mock God and the Israelites. And David stood up and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that mocks my God?" He saw everybody else trembled in fear. But David knew Goliath had already been judged by God. His vision was dominated by God. We all have giants in our lives, men. Even me, I have two or three running around every day. Eventually, though, we can't survive and we can't thrive by fleeing these giants. We survive and thrive by facing them. I want to make a point. Every giant is not necessarily a sin. A giant could just be one of your fears. It may be your fear of something in life. But it is inescapable in real life. You see, when David went down there to that war zone, he didn't act like a warrior. He wasn't a warrior. Not yet. He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd and he felt his flock was threatened. Just the way it was when a lion threatened his flock. And he tracked that lion down, retrieved that lamb and killed that lion. Likewise with a bear when a bear did the same thing. David reacted like a shepherd because his flock was the Israelites. Saul tried to get him to wear his armor and he couldn't fit in it. So he just picked up his stones, he ran out of the tent, and he ran. And the Bible says he ran to face Goliath. As Goliath cursed him and cursed God, David said, "I come to you in the name of God, in the name of the Lord." And today, all of Israel will know there is a living God. With that, he flung a stone at Goliath, hit him in the forehead. He fell flat on his face. David didn't have another weapon. So he went up and drew Goliath's sword and killed him. Cut off his head and held it up to show the rest of the Philistines God's power. He flaunted God's power. For Goliath, the story's over. For us, it just begins. You see, this story has a deeper meaning. As men, we are weak in ourselves. We know we all need the Lord. And we all face Goliath every day. Most of us see ourselves as David, the underdog fighting against some giant. But Goliath paralyzed the Israelites, and in the same way, we become paralyzed when we meet our Goliath. Sooner or later, all believers will find themselves face to face with a big challenge. One that makes either fear or faith take over. What will it be in your case? Brothers, I'm here today to tell you if you cower in fear every time you face your Goliath, all you have to do is read Psalm 91 that says you have the protection of the living God. But first, you have to admit what that Goliath is. Second, you have to cast away all the naysayers. Just like David's brothers that were on the front line, they told him he couldn't do it. Saul told him he couldn't do it, but David knew he could. Third, we have to create comparisons of how God has blessed us in the past. The way David recalled when he killed the bear and the lion. And fourth, real simple, just count on God. So I think we can become partners with God. We need His power and His wisdom. And I believe He wants us to use our skills and the gifts He's given us. God wants the best for us, but He wants to do it through us. We have to use what God's given us for His glory. We need to look at things in a new way. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Man, it's time to challenge the Goliath of our time and place. I don't know what your intimidating giant is today. Personally, I fought some pretty big giants in my life. Ones that I let get in the way. But you know, those giants that I fought weren't near as hard to overcome as the giants that I have right here. Every day. Fierce giants that most of the days I'm afraid of. Maybe your giant today, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's your job, your boss, an employee, a child or a parent, or most likely your relationship with your wife. But I know you've got one. And if you say you don't have one, then you've got one. But our giants change day to day according to our circumstances. They seem to come and go. Maybe your giant is a spirit of worry and fear that shouts across the valley of your life, just like Goliath shouted at the Israelites. Maybe you can't get a handle on it, but it's there haunting you. Do we just see giants or like David? Do we see them from God's point of view? Do we also see the hand of God and hear the promise of Jesus? I am with you always. God says, just trust me. I'll strip you down to nothing but faith. And then I'll accomplish a victory where I get the glory. But as for you, just trust me. See, the ultimate hero of this story is not David. The hero is the same as all the other stories in the Bible, our Almighty God. Are you going to continue to be terrified and ignore the giants so others can handle it? How many times, just think about this, how many times have you had the opportunity to step up and do what's right only to sit back down because others disagree with you? Satan stands before us today, brothers, and defies the living Savior and His church. I don't want to step on toes, but most of the people are huddled down, too frightened to do anything about it. People who are in the Holy Spirit and commissioned by God look on helplessly as their church dwindles and hope slowly fades. The enemy is all around us. We are faced with glass from every angle. We have been given our own slings and stones that will defeat any giant that stands before us. You have to realize what those slings and stones are. Number one, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit and trust in Him to get the job done. Number two, we have to call on our past experiences like David did with the lion and the bear. See, some of you have had great victories in the past through the power of God, yet today you stand on the brink of defeat. Think back to that great event in your past when you knew God was there. God is still there. Number three, the Word of God. That's where David got all his confidence. God promised him. He was already anointed, and he knew he was to be king. God made him a promise, and he made God, and he relied on God's promise. God promises you too, you and I. Number four, we have to have a vision of something big with a big God. He can make all things happen. And number five, have a heart full of faith. Let no man's heart fail, 1 Samuel 17:32. Our God calls us as the body of Christ to stand up, work together or alone if necessary, to work out the disparities between the rich and the poor, the powerful and the disenfranchised, to root out prejudice and racism from our hearts and institutions. We are commissioned to stand with people of all ages and races and classes as they struggle for dignity and respect and the chance to exercise power for the common good. We should be seeking God's purpose first and foremost, especially if we believe that God calls us, each of us, to live our lives in accordance with God's own will. That's my giant. I'm not preaching at you. That's my giant. Never mind that we may be out of step with others, the naysayers like David's brother and Saul. We should believe that Christ our Lord calls each of us to serve as He has served us, to take up our cross, risking the consequences, to walk by faith and not by sight, to hope for more than we have yet seen. Just remember, God's agenda for people and for His work has always been opposed and challenged. Yet God has never been threatened. Instead, God uses what seems to us to be gigantic problems in our lives as the means of changing our lives and forming Christ in us. That's what you told me last night, Brian. Remember, when facing giants, you need to trust God. God is still the same God that stepped up and spoke the world into existence. He is still the same God that saved you by grace when you exercised a little faith. He is still the one who meets your needs. He is still the one who touched that loved one and healed them for you. He is still the one who has never failed you. But I know there's some of you here that don't know that God. Well, He brought you here today to hear this talk. It's a start. Give it a chance, because God didn't bring you through those two doors to leave you alone now. See, the story of David and Goliath is a story. A story I believe that God wants to be part of the story of our lives. David shows us what happens when faith is faced with giants, battles or obstacles. The qualities of genuine faith. I believe if you are a child of God, the Spirit of the Lord is in your heart. When one of life's giants appear to us, there rises up within your heart a desire to see that giant fall. All around us there may be those who say, that giant's too strong. And the world and the faithless cry out, God can't. But there is one in our hearts who rises up and says, God can. God can. You see, faith is not content to let the devil, the world, or the obstacles that hinder the work of the Lord win the battles of life. Faith demands victory over these things. Faith, genuine faith, looks at an obstacle and sees an opportunity. Brothers, you might as well face the fact that when you react because of your faith in God, there will always be the naysayers, the crowd that says, you can't do it. They'll talk behind your back. I'm sure that some of you today, when you saw that I was a speaker, said, oh no, Mike Garrow, it's all about him again. Because it was always about me. But the ones that really know me now know that God's changed my life. I can't pay any attention to the naysayers now. Amen. Don't let that crowd get to you. They tried that with David, and they even tried it with Jesus Christ. But they both prevailed by faith, and you can, and I can too. True faith will always win the victory. Your giant may have better weapons, be bigger, and have superior strength. But you have God. In your faith, God doesn't look at human ability. He doesn't see the size of the obstacle. He sees your heart. Just rely on God to give you victory. Your genuine faith looks beyond the problem to see a God who is able. Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able. Able to do what? Anything. When you can't, He can. He is still the great I Am. I am what? Whatever His children need Him to be. He can take care of the little Goliaths and the big ones. But you have to admit what they are. You can't fight an enemy that you don't name. When faith is exercised in God, victory is won. When God is honored by faith, He in turn will honor our faith. And your life will be changed. Earlier I said most of us think of ourselves as David. But you know what? You can wear two different kinds of armor. You can wear the armor of God. Or you can put on the armor worn by Goliath. The armor of avoidance. You see, we're not all Davids. Sometimes we're Goliaths. Sometimes we're Goliaths. God comes to us and wants to clean us up. To instruct, direct us, empower us. And we put on our avoidance armor to defend ourselves from God. God wants to clean us up, but we say, nothing wrong with me, buddy. We keep trying to figure it out on our own. We just keep trying harder to do it our own way. I can relate. And we fail to receive it. When it comes to God, we are so often armored like Goliath. Can you hear His voice? It's a matter of the heart. It's about courage, all right. Courage to rely on your faith. Now, run to meet your Goliath. Thank you.